Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you continue to join this broadcast today, and I'm looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. We're talking about the last days are here. Some of the indications of the last days are what we see with the increasing jihadist, Islamic jihadist across the nation and around the globe. We're watching the increased influence of the LGBTQ, the sodomite movement in America today. And we're just talking about Pete Buttigieg and some of the things that he's saying and doing. And yet, I would have been amazed just a few years ago if someone had said the potentiality of someone running for that high office as President of the United States and in your face talk about his lifestyle, which is immoral, ungodly, and unholy, a lifestyle that is condemned clearly in the scripture, and yet he now is claiming to be, if you please, theologian-in-chief, Pete Buttigieg. Here's an article that says Pete Buttigieg claims Bible says babies can be aborted up to their first breath. Now, before I read anything in the article, just the title of the article, it's a news article, date September 6, 2019. Pete Buttigieg claims Bible says babies can be aborted up to their first breath. Where in the world would you find that in the Bible? Does it exist? No. It does not, but most Christians do not recognize that. Let me say very clearly and very confidently. What Pete Buttigieg is trying to do is undermine President Trump's Christian base that's supporting him. This article says the Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg suggested Friday that unborn babies can be aborted up until they draw their first breath, saying parts of the Bible mention how life begins with breath. End quote. Buttigieg discussed how the Bible talks about life beginning with breath and suggested this would be the only way to determine when life begins in relationship to abortion debates. He said Republicans hold everyone in line with the doctrine, their doctrine about abortion. He quotes, I quote, which is obviously a tough issue for a lot of people to think through morally. Buttigieg said, then again, there's a lot of parts of the Bible that talk about how life begins with breath. And so even that is something that we can interpret differently, even though that is something we can interpret differently. Then he added, I'm pro-choice. Further, he says, I think no matter what you think about the kind of cosmic question of how life begins, most Americans can get on board with the idea of, all right, I might draw the line here, or you might draw the line there, but the most important thing is the person who should be drawing the line is the woman making the decision. The South Bend, Indiana mayor continued his dialogue. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the first time he said some things that are so antithetical to the scripture, and yet he claims it's coming from the scripture. May I say again, as I've said so often, we need to have Christians that are Berean Christians that you search the scripture to see if what's said is true. And here's an article that says, Buttigieg says that God will punish us for global warming. Now listen, I wanted to read you the headlines of a few of these articles because he's coming forth now in a brazen, bold fashion. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the last days are here. And one of the indicators of the last days, that is where the scripture says, perilous times shall come, perilous times are here. That is dark, deadly, dangerous, devastating, difficult, demoralized. And that's where we are. And I'm wanting us to understand that, ladies and gentlemen, because we need to recognize that. And as Christians and recognizing that, as conservatives and as Christians, if we can recognize it, get a handle on it, and understand that we need to be salt and light, and understand that we need to be involved in the society in which we're living in, we need to turn, stand up, speak up, shout out against these things, and be heard and be seen as Christians. Christians are too silent, and we ought not to be. Ladies and gentlemen, you can join the dialogue and discussion by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917. You are tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. Love to hear from you. Do you believe we're in the last days? Do you believe that somehow, some way, the world's going to get better and better? Do you believe that somehow, some way, these things are simply going to go away? Or do you believe that they're going to get worse and worse, as the scripture says? I want to hear from you. This article says, it's an argument speaking about God will punish us for global warming, Buttigieg boldly says. It's an argument that should turn the staunchest conservative into a daily campaigner against climate change, he said. according to this Democratic hopeful Pete Buttigieg. God's going to punish us for it, he said. The South Bend, Indiana mayor, who calls himself a gay Christian, that's antithetical. That's an oxymoron. No such thing as a gay Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're tuned in today, you're listening to me, you have a son or a daughter, you have a grandchild, son or daughter, grandchild, in some way you know someone that says they're Christian and they're homosexual, it's an impossibility. On one occasion, I had a dear lady when she was trying to protect her brother and his homosexuality, and she's a practicing Christian. She said to me, well, can't that just be his sin and he still loves Jesus? Absolutely, unequivocally, no. God did not make a mistake when he created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve, ladies and gentlemen. He created male and female, created he them, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Ladies and gentlemen, anytime there is the diluting of or denying of God's creation, it is spitting in the face of God and saying that God, somehow God made a mistake. There's not a sodomite gene in the DNA system that's ever been discovered by any scientist, medical science or otherwise. It does not exist. No such thing as having a propensity to homosexuality and saying that God created you that way, God made you that way, and that's what Peter Buttigieg says. And he further says, in talking about God's going to punish us for global warming, he says to me, environmental stewardship isn't just about taking care of the planet. It's taking care of our neighbor. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, he says. And the biggest problem with climate change isn't that it's going to hurt the planet. I mean, in some way, shape, or form, the planet's still going to be here. Understand that, Buttigieg says? But he says that it is a sin, and God's going to punish us for it. In fact, here's another article on the same subject, but a different speech that he gave. Pete Buttigieg says it's a sin to deny global warming. The left subtitled this article, "The Left Loved Him Trying to Use Religion Against the Faithful Christians." Pete Buttigieg was praised by many of the left for using religious language during a CNN's interview about climate change at the town hall meeting, including the assertion that it was kind of a sin for skeptics to deny climate change. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize we have over 1,000 scientists that have come forward and they deny climate change? They say that climate change is not happening. They reject it. In fact, you can go back, ladies and gentlemen, and look at the facts of what has taken place over the years. It was 1975 when Al Gore, you know, the one that says he invented the computer, Al Gore, you know, the one that at one time was vice president, Al Gore in 1975 said that we were in the process of the globe freezing because of the not global warming, not climate change, but it was the fact that we had an ice thing that was taking place, that the whole globe was going to be covered with ice. He said, in fact, this was in 1975. He said by 1995, 20 years, that we would be freezing in America unless we recognized the need to do something about the ice age that was approaching. Well, we didn't freeze. They realized that was all farce, phony, and a fraudulent scare tactic among the politicians to try to get a taxing system in place for the United Nations to control the United States of America. That didn't work. So then they talked about global warming, and they discovered that that was not taking place. Their scientists understand that it's not taking place. They understand that that's a fraudulent, phony scare tactic. So now they simply call it global warming. So if it gets cold, or if there's fires, if there's an earthquake, if there's hurricanes, or if there's a long string of 100-degree days in our climate, then all of a sudden it's climate change, and that's the cause. But ladies and gentlemen, I've got some news for you. Climate change shall ultimately take place, but let me get to that in just a moment. Here is a further statement by Pete Buttigieg. And you don't have to be religious to see the moral dimensions of this climate change. Because frankly, every religious and non-religious moral tradition tells us that we have the responsibility of stewardship, some responsibility for taking care of what's around us, he continued. But ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh has a perfect answer to that. And I have an article that I'd like to insert at this point and make a point about that. Rush Limbaugh explains why libs terrified by climate change. Liberals are terrified, this article says, of climate change because they don't believe in God, contends the radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh. The left, he said, believes the earth, the universe, the solar system, the planets, whatever, is some random, haphazard, accidental thing that just really is fragile, end quote. Further quote, well then, you can be easily coerced into believing that one of the two slight changes could destroy it. It is just, if it's just an accident, if it's just a coincidence that the earth is here, it's just like some big bang, he says. I mean, it's really fragile. This is Rush Limbaugh making fun of those climate change terrorists in the Democratic Party. He says, you notice one of the fundamental aspects of selling climate change is the earth is fragile, that the ecosystem and the climate are fragile, barely being held together, held in place. The people that have been raised with a belief in, respect for, and understanding of God and his creation are going to have a much harder job to sell them on that idea, end quote. Limbaugh explained his personal views. He says, see, for me, folks, it's impossible to believe that all this majesty, everything that we have learned about the universe and all that, is impossible for me to believe that this just happened. It's too perfect. It's too exquisite. It's just too complex. It's just too magical. It's just too majestical. It's beyond my ability to describe it. It's so much bigger than any one human being. That means, too, it's much bigger than any political party or political agenda, end quote. What Rush Limbaugh is saying is, ladies and gentlemen, listen, God created the heavens and the earth and everything that's therein. It is very, very clear in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and then you break it down with the 6 days of creation, of that God created it all. In fact, the God that created it happens to be, if you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 17, you understand that Jesus Christ created everything that's visible, everything that's invisible, everything that's in the heavens, everything that's under the heavens, everything that's on the earth, and everything that's under the earth, according to the scripture in Colossians 1, 13 and following. Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh, is the creator of it all. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, I'm not advocating that we go out here and purposely try to pollute and foul up the earth, but it's not Mother Earth. It is Father God, and God created it, and God is the one that keeps it in control. In fact, you understand that Jesus Christ, God that created it all, according to Colossians 1:13 and following, he's the one that controls it. Have you ever wondered why our globe stays on its axis and it spins 24/7? It is revolving, rotating, and it never gets off a half degree or a degree on its axis. If it got off at 1 degree in one direction, we'd freeze to death. A degree in another direction, we would all roast on the planet. It's because of God's controlling factor. God is sovereignly in control of this old world, and man cannot destroy the earth. And with the global or the Green New Deal that ACO is advocating, and now all 20 of the Socialist Democratic candidates for president are embracing the Green New Deal, literally says that God cannot control it, but man can, and somehow, some way, we need to have some way to stop using coals and oils and fuels. We need to stop jet airplanes. We need to stop eating hamburgers because that means we've got to have cows, and cows are polluting the atmosphere and causing the environmental problems. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a bunch of hocus pocus by left-wing, God-hating group of people. And by the way, when I say God-hating, I mean that, because they booted God in some of their meetings, talking about the Democrats. They booted God. They left God out of their agenda and their planks, if you please, of what they're doing as the Democratic Party. They've refused to allow God's name to be used in a swearing-in oath in the U.S. House of Representatives, because one representative from Tennessee said that God is okay to have God in the synagogues, okay to have God in the cathedrals, okay to have God in the churches, but God has no place in the halls of Congress. His words, not mine. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the last of the last days. We're talking about perilous times are present. We need to understand that, and it's urgent in particular, ladies and gentlemen, for Christians to understand that. If you're listening today and you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, you must realize that God has a plan for this whole earth. God has a plan and a purpose for your life and for mine. And that plan and purpose is that we be obedient to the Scriptures and being salt and light. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, here's Pete Buttigieg, that is the in-your-face sodomite candidate for President of the United States of America. He claims to be a Christian. He is oftentimes quoting the Scripture sideways and out of context, and I believe doesn't have any earthly idea what the Word of God says. If he did, he would be embarrassed by, ashamed of, and condemned in the Word of God, through the Word of God, for his lifestyle of being a sodomite and in your face sodomite and not ashamed of it at all. But ladies and gentlemen, he quotes the Bible about global warming. He quotes the Bible about abortion. And here's an article that says, Pete Buttigieg says, reckoning is coming over the GOP and Christianity. Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg says Republicans will have to face a reckoning over their policy agenda. He says it's out of sync with Christian values. You hear what I'm reading? Here's a man that's antithetical to Christianity. Here's a man that's antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth. And yet he's wanting to preach to Christians and saying that we're out of sync with Christian values. And the reason he says that, ladies and gentlemen, is because he says that God created him that way. He says that God created the homosexuals that way. And somehow, some way, there must be a recognition of it. There must be an embracing of it. And it's okay. Yes, there will one day be a global warming, ladies and gentlemen. Pete Buttigieg's talking about that global warming and saying that somehow, some way, that we need to embrace that and need to approve of that, or we're going to be held responsible. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you from 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to drop down to about verse 10. The scripture says, but the day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, is that time frame from the rapture of the church to the return of Christ. It is the day of the Lord. So when you find in that day, in the Old Testament, number of times, you find the phrase in that day or in the day of the Lord, it is talking about that time frame from when the church is snatched out of this whole world in what is called the rapture until Jesus Christ returns and slays the enemies of God, the enemies of the church, the enemies of Christ with the sword of his mouth, Revelation chapter 19, verses 17 through 21. But in this text in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, but in the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, that is without notice, without warning, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and all the works therein shall be burned up. Ladies and gentlemen, God has promised that he will not use a flood again to destroy this earth. The rainbow in the sky, by the way, that symbol that's been hijacked by the sodomites, the rainbow, when you see a rainbow in the sky, it's the reminder of God's covenant, God's promise that he'll never destroy the earth again by floods. But he will destroy this old earth by fire. There's a day coming, ladies and gentlemen, when there will be global warming. But it will not be the global warming that the politicians talk about and that Pete Buttigieg in his demoralized, his ungodly, unholy speaking about the Word of God and his lifestyle is not what he's talking about. But there will be that day. And ladies and gentlemen, even beyond the day that this earth is destroyed by fire, I want us to understand that there is a place, and that place is called hell. That place is hot. That place is real. And that place is where every individual without Christ will one day be subjected to. And it won't be a matter of saying, well, why did God send a person to hell? As some people have cried, whined. It's because you make a volitional choice to go there. You make a volitional choice to reject Christ. You make a volitional choice to not receive the Word of God and believe what the Word of God has to say. Ladies and gentlemen, Buttigieg has become a theologian in chief in his own mind. What he is doing is an attempt, as I said a moment ago, to get Christians to vote for him and to undermine President Trump's Christian base that stands with him. Ladies and gentlemen, for Buttigieg to take the stand and say the things that he's saying and to somehow, some way, want to approve his lifestyle and to have his lifestyle basically, as I call it, in your face. And unfortunately, we've got a lot of millennials today, 18 to 35-year-old age group, that find nothing wrong with his lifestyle, that embrace the sodomite lifestyle, say that we need to love everybody and that that's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply antithetical to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. But I want us to understand there's coming that day when this old world shall be destroyed after the rapture of the church has taken place. But ladies and gentlemen, that push for the LGBTQ agenda is the greatest threat, I believe, for the moral, ethical fabric of society today of anything else. In fact, Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel warns of the dangers of the LGBTQ activities. Here's an article that we should listen carefully. LGBTQ activists are swarming Congress to press their agenda into law. And if they succeed, the First Amendment freedom, your freedom and mine, will take a devastating hit. We can't let that happen. Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. Further, he says, the misnamed Equality Act is the LGBTQ's full frontal assault. But they're holding the door open with other attempts. Now they're trying to get it through the window. See what I mean below and stand with the Liberty Counsel to defeat the LGBTQ agenda. Here's what I want to point out to you. I did not realize until recently, of course, you understand, let me give you a little background. Nancy Pelosi and her socialist agenda in the U.S. House of Representatives have already passed House Bill 5. You've heard me talk about it. They had 240 votes. It's now Senate Bill 788 in the Senate with 46 senators already signed on to it. I don't believe it'll pass the Senate, but if it ever did become law, it would destroy the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America. But they realize that it's going to be difficult to get it passed as one single bill. So here's what this article says from Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel. LGBTQ radicals aren't satisfied with driving their freedom-stealing agenda down the throats using the misnamed Equality Act. Now they're trying to pass their outrageous demands on the sly. They're doing that by inserting parts of the dangerous Equality Act into other bills, including the must-pass spending measures in Congress. Let me give you three or four things from Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. And ladies and gentlemen, all of these deal with the LGBTQ. We're talking about the last days are here. We're talking about indications of that is the global push for the Islamic jihadist and their danger to society. We're talking about the global push and the American push in particular now for the LGBTQ, the sodomite agenda. Matt Staver says, number one, Consumer Non-Discrimination Act. It's called now the Consumer Non-Discrimination Act, House Bill 2687. If it was honestly named, the bill should be labeled the Women Beware Act. It opens all restroom doors, locker room doors, shower room doors to everyone and anyone that claims to be the gender listed on the facility door. That means a man claiming to be a woman gains access to all women's facilities, and that applies nationwide. Hear me. They have now introduced a bill called the Customer Non-Discrimination Act, House Bill 2687. And that's they're taking the Equality Act of House Bill 5. They realize it's going to be tough to get it through as one bill. So taking pieces and parts of that bill, and they're inserting that in other bills that must be approved and passed in this legislative session. Number two, Stronger Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act, House Bill 2480. Combating child abuse is critical and to be lauded, but this bill goes beyond that by venturing into social engineering. First, it endorses the LGBTQ taxonomy by adding sexual and gender minority youth to its list of benefited parties. Such youth are defined as homosexuals, lesbians, bisexual individuals. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, if it passes and this becomes federal law, it means that all bathroom doors will be open, all shower rooms doors will be open, and all of those as minorities or minors, that is, will of any gender will be benefited and will have protection from the federal government. Youth defined as homosexuals, lesbians, et cetera, et cetera. In addition, there's the proposed language that would deem it child abuse for any parent or any guardian to refuse a child being given hormones of so-called sex reassignment surgery. When parents refuse, the child could be removed from the home. Hear me. That will remove the authority of Christian parents, Christian moms, Christian dads, and allow the federal government to take that child, and that child could be changed from a girl to a boy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is absolutely mind-boggling to me. And then what they call the Megabus, M-E-G-A-B-U-S, number one, for appropriations bill, it's the House Bill 2740. We discovered this is Matt Staver. We discovered that pro-LGBTQ language that can be used to attack our freedom hidden in four sections of this bill. Numbers reflect the section of the bill. Labor House HHS Division A, Defense Division C, Energy and Water Division E, and State and Foreign Ops Division D. Here, the LGBTQ advocates insert text requiring the State Departments to study, to track, and to report on LGBTQ laws around the world in its annual human rights report. It also requires that both state and the USAID to document and report their own efforts to promote LGBTQ behaviors globally. Ladies and gentlemen, it is sad, but also they have House Bill 1450, House Bill 3234, to Do No Harm Act and Refund Equality Act, and then to Defend Freedom and Make Your Voice Heard Act. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We're not talking about something just mamsy-pamsy. We're not talking about something that is done just on a local level with two or three people. We're talking about the federal government trying to force this on the Christians in the United States of America. It will destroy the church. It will destroy the home. It will destroy the morals and ethics and the values. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says, teachers order students to identify sexuality and the gender of their parents. A North Carolina teacher and her school district are under fire after she ordered students to do a diversity inventory in which they publicly identified their sexuality, gender, religion, ability, and socioeconomic class and status of fellow students and teachers and the parents in the classroom setting. The controversy erupted when Melissa Wilson, a high school English teacher, ordered students to take an inventory. And ladies and gentlemen, this article is too lengthy for the broadcast, but it goes into details of what this teacher required her students to do. In fact, some of them were so petrified, they were considered as having PTSD shock. Some of them stayed out of school the next day. Some of them, the parents pulled them out of the school because it had gotten so filthy and so immoral and so ungodly and unholy of what the teacher was asking the students to do in identifying it. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that I'll close with, and it's this. It says, it's not right. It's written by one of our professors here at the university, Dr. Neil Phelps, and it says it's not right. It's not right for churches, pastors, deacons, and elders to embrace the sodomite lifestyle. It's unholy. It's not right for elected representatives in Congress to impose the homosexual lifestyle upon its citizens. It's insane. It's not right for governors to give up VIP status to homosexual perverts. It's confusion. It's not right for judges to force the homosexual lifestyle upon our society. It's unconstitutional. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air tomorrow as we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.